All right. Well, I want to start today by thinking about Southwest Lutheran Church for a minute. Our congregation, this congregation, right? This family of believers gathered together. Last fall, we got to celebrate something kind of cool. We got to celebrate the 15th anniversary of Southwest Lutheran Church last fall. And that means that at the end of this month, it's actually September 29th, is that day they formed the congregation, signed the charter and all that. On September 29th, Southwest will have been here for 16 years, and that's a cool thing. And we've been here serving, we've been here caring for people, we've been here sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with the city of Fort Wayne. And it's really neat, actually, down the hallway, if you've ever gone and taken a look, you can go down the hallway just across from the kitchen there. You can see, actually, the original church charter hanging on the walls. And there's all the names of the families who are part of the church at that time, and it's kind of cool. You can look at that, and I look around, and I see lots of names that I see on that document. It's a cool thing to see these people with us today. And in these past 15 and almost 16 years, you know, we can say there's been times of joy and good times. There's been times of challenge. There's been times of blessing. There's been times of hardship. And throughout, no matter what season of the church's life we're talking about, we know one thing has been happening. And that is that we have seen the good news of Jesus Christ at work. We've seen God's word, the gospel, creating new life in us and in others, new life in Christ. And today, I think there's some really exciting things happening here at Southwest as we think about our life together. You know, these past couple of years, we've really gotten restarted on doing a lot of outreach and service events in our community. We've been meeting our neighbors, people who live right around us right here. We've done our best to serve people in our community through health and wellness sort of things, helping people learn to live as God made them to live, or also by connecting them to needed resources, as we're doing in just a few weeks at the Cars and Caring event. We're also beginning to get connected with families of young children, which is a really cool thing. That's our focus for outreach right now. And at the same time, the good stuff that was already happening, is still happening. We're continuing that outreach to immigrants. The Learning Center downtown, the apartment complex, where some of our folks offer homework help and tutoring to children, also offer ESL classes, that's English as a Second Language classes to adults. That's seen some new energy, and we're meeting a whole new group of people down there right now. That's a cool thing. One of the things I'm most excited about is one of our young men, Somo, has stepped up to prepare himself for being a pastor, not to single you out. But, you know, I can tell you personally, this is really cool for me. Ever since my own seminary experience, I've really wanted to be part of preparing people to serve as pastors, preparing men to serve as pastors in the church. And here we are, and I never actually thought it would happen this way, but it's really cool for me nonetheless. Here we are. But even more than that, more significant than that, is also what Somo represents for our congregation. And again, not to put too much on your shoulders here, but this is really neat. In about a month, and actually we have a date now, we weren't sure, so I couldn't put it, an announcement in the bulletin, but on September 30th, that's Sunday morning, we're going to officially install Somo as a vicar, we say, a student pastor, or a pastor intern, if that helps you get the idea. Kind of an apprentice. He'll be kind of official, and here learning to become a pastor. And that's really significant. That's a big deal, because up until this point, as long as I've been here at least, these past 3+ years, Southwest Lutheran Church has been a multi-ethnic congregation, right? People of many ethnicities, but we've had all white leadership, white pastor, and all that. And now, with you, brother, we're becoming a multi-ethnic congregation with multi-ethnic leadership. And that is a really cool thing. And it says a lot to the people around us, and especially, I believe, to our friends who are Burmese or to other immigrants. And I'll be honest, what that's going to look like, I don't know yet. And what might change, I don't know yet. This is kind of uncharted territory for me. And so I don't know what changes that new reality will bring in the future, but I do know I'm excited to see where God is leading us. I think we have a lot to be thankful for. Amen? Yes. And our scripture reading is appropriate for today, because what's happening today is, one, we're giving thanks to God for all his blessings to us. We know he's blessed us so much. And for those of us who have had the opportunity to sit down and reflect and to make a decision on this. We are making financial commitments to the Lord today. Last week we talked about this, we talked about how to give and why. Two of our major points last week was, one, God doesn't want us to give unless we want to give financially, okay? And two, God wants us to be intentional with our giving. And so this, like, commitment thing is only if you've had a chance to do that, to sit down and think and be intentional. If you haven't had a chance to think about this, don't worry. You don't have to make a commitment today or anything like that. But if you haven't and you're a member or a regular attender here, I would encourage you to pick up one of these extra commitment packets from the back, and the ushers will have them. And go online to our website, southwestlutheran.org, and listen to last week's message, which is titled Forward in Giving, where we talk about, you know, what's up with this whole giving, how do we do it, and why. And then make that commitment to the Lord, whatever that might be. Like I said, this is only if you've had a chance to think about it. And I'll say, actually, I'll be honest. I have to make a confession. I had the best intentions. And Amber and I were going to sit down and talk about that this week. And several things happened in life, and we've been really kind of crazy the last few days. I haven't had a chance to. And so I have an envelope, you'll see, but it actually says, sorry, I needed something to show people what to do, but I'll need to get back to you on that. And that's okay. Okay? Total honesty. That's okay, because this is something God wants us to be intentional about. All right? And we will. We will do that this week. Let me encourage you to make that commitment. And we talked about why last week. That's done with that. But this scripture reading is appropriate for today, okay, because we're doing that. And this scripture reading talks about the relationships that we have with one another. It talks about how we're called to lift one another up. And it talks about how we can move forward in faith together. And really, that's what we're doing together today. And so we'll read the first few verses of our reading again. The first few verses say, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Now, what's Paul saying here? Because this probably sounds a little odd to our American ears. Well, Paul is writing to the early Christian church in Rome. And Rome at that time, it was like the center of the world, the center of the Western world at least. Not to say that the East folks in Asia were not important. This was the center of the Western world. It was the capital of the Roman Empire, which stretched from Northern Europe all the way down to Africa. It stretched from the Atlantic Ocean in the west to the Middle East in the east, almost into Asia proper as we think of it today. It's a huge empire. And because this was the seat of power, people from all over the world came to Rome. And so imagine a city as diverse as New York City today. You go there, you can find every language in the world being spoken. You can find people of all different colors, shades of skin, every culture. It's all present there in Rome. And this caused some problems in the early Christian church in Rome. Even though these Christians, they had been made one in Christ, these early Christians still tended to draw lines between themselves. They drew lines between themselves. Individual Christians would still sometimes think of themselves as better or more important or more mature in faith than others. So that what would happen was that, well, Jewish Christians would criticize Gentile Christians for not being more Jewish. Gentile Christians would criticize Jewish Christians for not being more Gentile. More mature Christians would criticize those young in faith for not being more mature in faith. They argued over diets. They argued over days of rest. They argued over holidays and lots of things. And it must have been quite a mess, because if it wasn't a big problem, Paul would not have taken the time to write the Christians in Rome about this, to help them resolve these differences they had. So Paul is addressing a real problem here. They're having real cultural problems. And so Paul says this to the Christians in Rome. He says, don't work to please yourself, work to please your neighbors. This phrasing sounds a little odd to us when Paul is talking about whether we should please ourselves or others. I mean, anyone else, right? That seems kind of weird. No one. No one's raising their hand. It was just me. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I thought it was just me. It sounds kind of strange because there's a reason for that. This concept of pleasing one person or another, that's kind of a cultural concept from Mediterranean society. It comes out of the Mediterranean social world, and it doesn't directly translate into our American brains today. And it's not just about making one person or another happy, okay? Although we may think that. The culture of the Mediterranean world then was all about social exchange, give and take, or another kind of a more technical word for it is reciprocity, social reciprocity. And the idea is that you would do a favor for one person, you would do something for them, and then that person kind of owes you a favor. You could count on them for help or a favor or something like that in the future. So every interaction carried social obligations. And every little give and take between people created new social obligations. And every communal decision was about answering this one question. In this situation where we disagree, whose needs and desires have to give way here? And who gets to do what they want? Who gets their way and then who has to defer? Or who gets to remain the same and then who has to adapt to the presence of the other? And this question, it had all sorts of, you know, issues of seniority, elders, and other social obligations, rank in society. It was all tied up in there. And you can imagine just how complicated social webs can get. So that when Paul says, don't please yourself, he's not really talking about happiness. He's talking about this cultural concept of accommodation. He's saying, we who are strong in faith, we shouldn't make the weak ones accommodate our desires. Rather, the strong should be accommodating the weak. The strong in faith should adapt themselves to the needs of the weak. When we have an argument in the church, he says, the mature in faith need to bend over backwards to please or to build up those who are weak in faith. And Paul doesn't say this outright, but the reason why seems pretty clear, at least to me, as I think about it. Imagine this. Imagine for a moment you're in the ancient world and you're a brand new believer in Jesus Christ. And so you're weak in faith, you're young in faith, and you walk in the door to the Christian gathering. And the first thing you hear is, hey, that clothing needs to change because we don't dress that way around here. Or the first thing you hear is that hair or that jewelry you're wearing is scandalous, can't have it. You walk into this gathering and someone walks up and says, here's a list of what you can eat and what you can't. Or you walk in, guys, you walk in and someone says, all right, it's time to get you circumcised. Okay, let me ask you, if you would say these things to a person who is new in faith, weak in faith, what's going to happen? There's a very good chance, I think, that weak faith would not survive that kind of assault. And so Paul says, we who are strong, we who are mature in faith, we ought to bear with the failings of those who are weak. Not make them accommodate us, rather, the strong in faith must accommodate the needs and desires of those who are weak. Because a strong faith can handle a little bending. A strong faith can handle a little pressure and a little discomfort and a little, this is not the way I'd prefer it, but I can bend to make things easier on this person who doesn't yet understand the fullness of what God is teaching us here, okay? And wow, what good news it is, Paul says, that Jesus has this attitude towards us. He says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And we could do a lot of unpacking of that statement. I don't want to get too deep into the specific cultural matters, divisions, and issues they had in the church in Rome, but it was in a big part about this divide between Jews and Gentile Christians, and in a big part about this divide between how do we eat, how do we dress. Circumcision was, in fact, a big issue for them. I don't want to get too deep, but I can say that this description Paul gives of Jesus, acceptance, service, and lifting one another up, that seems like a pretty good model for the church, if you ask me. One, accept the people around you. Those who are weak in faith, no matter who they might be or what their lives are like, because that's how Jesus accepted you. Two, serve those people because you, people of God, you're the people of God. You're the ones who are strong in faith. And three, through this process, more people will come to glorify God and through his son Jesus Christ, or through his son Jesus Christ. And then as they grow in faith, the cycle actually repeats itself. Those who are weak in faith grow in faith, and they become the strong in faith, and they can accept, serve, accommodate those who are weak, and lift others up in faith as well. It seems like a pretty good model to me. It's kind of this beautiful picture of the strong using their strength to lift up the weak. And then the weak become strong, and then they too can use their strength to lift others up. Jesus, we see here, is always about the other. He's always about the weaker ones, the ones left out, the ones outside, the ones who are sinful, in fact. And Paul shows us that Jesus accepts the sinful. He serves them and lifts them up and brings glory to God through it. You and I used to be that way, the other ones, the ones outside of God's good graces. We used to be weak. We used to be the ones left out. We used to be the sinful ones without a remedy for that sin. And then Jesus accepted you, and then Jesus served you. And now your life adds glory and praise to God. And that's pretty cool, I think. And now, as Christians, Paul would encourage us, we lift one another up in every way. You know, we thought about some of those ways earlier. We accept and serve the people of our community as we go out. We lift up one another right here as we teach, as we mentor those who are young, and as we model lives of faith in the church. And we also, thinking about these commitments we'll make in just a moment. So get that card out in a moment if you don't have it out. We lift one another up financially. We lift one another up. You know, sometimes we're tempted to be kind of cynical about service in the church, about giving in the church. I hear people say things like, well, you know, 20% of the people in the church support all the rest. 20% of the people in the church volunteer and the rest are just kind of along for the ride. But don't think that way, because that's not what's happening. We're lifting one another up. And if you are one of the ones who is stronger, you've been given that gift of faith, that gift of strength in this way by God. This is all by God's grace. If you're that one who is stronger in how you relate to your money and how you give, then know that you're blessed to be able to accept and serve and lift up those who aren't yet where you're at. What a cool way to live our lives in every way, every part of our lives. And so here's what we're going to do. If you have those envelopes, grab them now. And I hope I'm not the only one here with an envelope. But you don't need one, actually, if you don't have it. What we're going to do, we've done this a few years now, we're going to lay these commitments on the altar. Take them up right here. And you don't have to stand right in front. You can go around the edges. We don't have to, like, make a big line up the center aisle or anything. But you can lay that commitment on the altar and then say a prayer, too, while you're there. And you can pray that God would use this to bless people around you. You can pray that God would use this to lift up those who are weak in faith. You could pray for those people you hope our church would reach in the coming year, in 2019. If you just have no idea what to say, you can say this. Say, Lord, help us to accept, serve, and lift up those around us. And you can add particular people if you want, neighbors, family, or individual people if you're thinking of. And you can say that prayer out loud. You can say it privately, and however that works. Come up, do that. You don't even have to have a card even. You can come up and you can say a prayer, because that's good for all of us, dude, to ask God to use us and all that we are and also what we're committing to him today in the ways that he sees fit. I think that's a good thing. So we're going to do that now. Have these envelopes or without the envelopes. We're going to come up. You lay them on the altar if you do. You can do it with your families, kids, if you want to come up too. That's great too. Say those prayers and then head back to your seats. And we do this as a celebration. We make these commitments with a joyful heart. We really do, because we know that God has blessed us with the opportunity to lift up others. So now's the time. Stand up. I'm going to go find my family. There they are. And walk up and do that with them. It's time. All right, well, like I said, if you couldn't do that today, that's okay. Part of the reasons we make these commitments is, I mean, it's good for us to do that. Last week we talked about how it's good for us to do this, to think and be intentional with giving. The other reason, I said, is that it also helps us as a congregation, me and our leaders, as we make budgets and things like that, it helps us to be good stewards of your money and your gifts, to know what to expect as we do that planning for next year, for 2019. So if you couldn't do that today, please, like I said, go check out that sermon online, get those materials from the ushers in the back, and make that commitment. And you can send it in the church office or anything like that, anytime. And we would appreciate you doing that if you're going to make that commitment. As we look to the end of our scripture reading, we see the result. What happens when we accept and serve those around us? Paul mentions that Jesus became a servant. And again, he says he became a servant to the Jews so that more would know Jesus, more would know the Lord. We see the result of accepting and serving those who are weak in faith. And we see these quotes from the Old Testament, and these quotes are full of praise, full of rejoicing. They're full of hope as people come to know God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's really cool. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. And again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. Let's lift him up. And Isaiah says, the root of Jesse, that's Jesus, will spring up, the one who will arise to rule over the nations, and in him, the Gentiles and all people will hope. And it's so cool how this act of accepting, of serving, of lifting up the weak results in praise, rejoicing, and hope in the Lord. So let me leave you today with this blessing from the very last verse of our scripture reading. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.